have a collect call from
Taylor,
an inmate at the Washington Correctional Center. To accept the call, press 5.
There's nothing like waking up to the sound of clacking and buzzing as the doors crack in the morning after count clears. Waking up to the reality of life in prison. For some, it is just a stop along their journey, a milepost, an experience. For others, it is a revolving door, in and out, and that's their way of life, stuck in the cycle, pulling and eating away at them. And then for some, it becomes their destination, as the hammer came down and that judge issued them a death sentence. The slow way, by way of life in prison. This is The Life of a Lifer by Taylor Conway.
Keep on walking down the line. Keep on walking down the line. Keep on walking down that street. Keep on walking down the line.
Hello and welcome, friends and family. Today we got a very special guest joining us. Dave Dahl, founder of Dave's Killer Bread, and I just want to welcome him on today, and thank you for joining us, and I feel welcome to go ahead and get a hold of us, whether it be via Instagram or Facebook, and ask any questions that you may have, because we are always willing to answer questions, get involved, engage, and interact with what we got going on. This is a platform that we are trying to build here to get a voice out from the incarcerated. My name is Taylor Conley, and I'm the host of The Life of the Lifer. So I would like to welcome on Dave Dahl. Are you there, Dave?
I sure am. How's it going?
Oh, not too bad, man. Just another day in the joint. How you doing today?
I'm hanging on. Hanging on. There's so much to do. So much going on. I'm doing great.
Yeah, man, life moves fast, and if you don't stay up with it, it just passes you by.
You're damn right.
Yeah, man, before I knew it.
Currently hanging out at my little art museum, that's kind of a museum. It's, I'm just working, running around looking at stuff, seeing if everything's, you know, legit, just. There's a lot going on in this warehouse, so that's basically what I'm up to today.
An art museum. You say that's
Well, it's not really a museum. A lot of people call it a museum, but it's more of just a warehouse, a place where I sell stuff online. But I have a massive collection of stuff.
Is that right? Like, what kind of stuff you got?
Well, it's African tribe life. So it's like stuff you've never seen before. And I got, for a while there, I was going through some stuff. I had a mental place down the street, streets of Portland, back in 2013. And I needed something to distract me from Dave Dahl, and this was perfect for that. So now I'm kind of stuck with the, dealing with all the work that I created for myself. When you purchase a lot of art, you got to take care of it. That's what's going on now.
Okay. What's your favorite type of artwork?
Well, it's really just I got into masks. You know, it's all tribal art, so it's. Masks, the things, ceremonial objects and stuff, essentially. And so, you would imagine, the crazy outfits that they would wear while they were doing their rituals. And that's what I have. I have a bunch of these masks left over from those rituals.
Wow, man. That's pretty cool. I didn't know that. And so,
yeah,
do you go to like art shows and things like that?
Yeah, we do. We do so many different things. We do art shows, but, you know, we donate art to charity sometimes, and we, you know, it's a business that really has no real, I've never found a way to make money out of it. I just kind of keep playing around and you know, we sell stuff, but it costs more money to run the business than we make selling it. So it's just more of a passion play.
With the artwork that we do and the stuff that we got going on with arts of all different various forms, it's interesting to talk to you that you're an avid and passionate art collector yourself. And I just was interested in, like, the experience that you've had with doing all this time in prison, with everything that you've gone through getting out of prison and getting into this art world that you're in. That, what does your time in prison have to do with this art, if anything?
Well, I think it's my... You know, I've always been sort of an artist. I just never really focused on it. I did some art while I was in prison, but I didn't get serious. I was more into playing my guitar. And then, you know, I think when I got out, you know, I didn't get into art right away because I was too busy working. I was working hard creating something, you know, creating Dave's Killer Bread and building that brand. But more recently, you know, in 2013, after I'd been at it for 8 years, I had success with the bread and, you know, extreme success, the kind of success that kind of is hard to see it coming. And then I had a mental breakdown. The art just somehow started appealing to me as a way to, you know, something I had to do for me, you know. So, I mean, being an artist, somehow having an art mind, just, it started with me buying things off the internet, you know, on eBay and stuff for my house. And eventually it led to me going down a little rabbit hole of art. And it's all carved art, you know what I mean? It's all sculpture.
Okay.
And for some reason, that just appealed to me. And it helped me get through a rough time.
Right. Yeah, art seems to have that healing property, you know, and I really believe that art has been paramount in helping me to become the person that I am today. You know, and I think that especially when you're going through hard times and stuff like that, art is something that really is amazing because there's so many different variations, there's so many different forms, whether it be sculptures, paintings, carvings, you know.
Yeah, it's expression.
Right? Music, expression, right? Yeah.
It's such a great use of, it's like the time just, when you're creating art, when you're in the art, you know, time just kind of, you know, goes by and, you know, you just don't think about your problems maybe so much.
Right. Right, man. And, yeah, I feel like art is kind of almost becoming lost in a way that everything is so commercialized nowadays that a lot of the, you know, and a lot of the art programs that they have in schools and stuff is becoming cut because they don't have the funding for it. So those are like the first type of budgets that get cut is stuff for the arts, man. And those are like the creative outlets that people need in their lives, man.
Yeah, art's pretty crucial. And, you know, I think the same is true of, you know, the trade programs. Guys learning to work with their hands and, you know, making... There's a certain sort of art mindfulness involved with carpentry and things like that that people aren't really taught anymore. But when they discover it, like I did, you know, I was being an artist, I guess, That's why computer-aided drafting appealed to me so much. And that's what, you know, in prison, that was kind of where my turnaround happened, was with the computer-aided drafting. I got medication, I got education, and my life just started turning around. So in my case, it was computer-aided drafting, but, you know, it's very similar in the way that, you know, it works with art. You know, drafting is really art too in its own way. There's science involved, and there's science involved in art. So it's just a great use of your time. It's like it's like we're being 100% into our life when we get to do that. You know,
absolutely. That's cool.
Distracted by things.
So you're a drafter and like doing designs for floor plans and stuff like that. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's what I learned while I was in prison. The last 2 years I was in prison, I learned computer drafting. And I drafted machine parts. I drafted, yeah, you name it. I drew it. And you know, I didn't draw it like pencil to paper. I drew it with a computer, but it's the same kind of thing. And that was kind of the beginning of my new life before Days to Kill It Red.
That's cool, man.
It made Days to Kill It Red possible, really, because it was part of my transformation.
Absolutely. So you said that when you made Dave's Killer Bread, you say it took about like by 8 years you had that thing huge.
Well, it was 8 years before things kind of I had, you know, I got so much success rather quickly, and you know, for a few years, several great years, Dave's Killer Bread was amazing. Then I started drinking and things like that. I got distracted. Kind of lost myself and ended up having a mental breakdown 2013. So that was 8 years into it. So it happened all really fast. I became a millionaire and then I had a mental breakdown all, you know, fairly short time. Because it was just so, there was just so much stuff involved, you know. So many things were happening. And I finally... Are you there?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. And I finally just, you know, I broke down, but then I guess it was the art that kind of brought me back around again. You know, it kind of was my saving grace.
Yeah, man. It's got to be a shock to come from doing all that time in prison and then, you know, have all this success and all this money and everything and you know, not maybe be exactly ready for that type of thing.
Yeah, and it wasn't, you know. I never really, it wasn't money, you know, I mean, I wasn't prepared for money because I'm like, money wasn't even what was on my mind, you know, I was just living my life. And so the way things kind of happened was I really wasn't ready for that. I probably would have been a little better off if things had been quite so successful. But you know, it's, you got to take the good with the bad, and I'm really happy today. So that's all good. You know,
that's great, man. And you got a legacy that you built there, because you know, I got the opportunity to try some of that bread just recently, and it's amazing bread, but it also has your story is on every bag of bread there. So I mean, that's kind of
a watered down version of my story, but yeah, it's there. It's still there.
Right. I mean, I'm sure, yeah, there's way more to it than the little condensed version of it there, but
yeah.
You know, and you've, with what you created there, being able to, it looks like help a lot of other individuals that are coming out of prison to, you know, help them with their transition back into society as well.
I think it's been, Days Care has been pretty good for that, no doubt. I think we've done a lot of good. You know, I'm not part of the company anymore, but I believe that the Days Care Bed legacy is pretty good, pretty great.
But it was your vision, man. It was your vision.
You know what my vision? It was. It came from the heart because, you know, I'm a guy. I felt really good about myself and about everything in my prison world when I got out of prison the last time. And, you know, a lot of things had happened, a lot of good things had happened, and I was ready for whatever came at me. So I was very, you know, when I had a little bit of enough success to where I had to hire people, it seemed obvious to, you know, hire ex-cons or at least give them a chance, not to hire them without, you know, really vetting them. But I really felt like I could benefit from having ex-cons working for me, and they could do the same.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, I think that that's a great thing. And I think that what you've been able to accomplish, you know, since then, even after that, is great as well. Because from what I understand, now you do some, you know, public speaking and different engagements like that, right?
Yeah, I do what I get in where I fit in. You know, if I have like purpose, you know, whenever I feel like compelled to do something, then I do it. Whether it be speaking or, you know, helping out causes that I believe in. And that's just natural for me because of all the stuff that I've been through. It just kind of, you know, giving back is, it's interesting, the idea of giving back. Most of my life, I'm like, how can I give back? I don't have anything to give. I need you to give to me. And there came a point in my life where I was no longer like that. I had been given something, and now I had something to give back. And ever since then, I've felt that, you know, that compulsion to do so.
I think that's great, man. Honestly, I really believe in the same philosophy, because also it seems like the more you give back, the more things that come your way as well and present themselves.
That's true. Especially I think if you do it without expecting a return, you do it because you believe in what you're doing. And, you know, stuff comes back to you whether you want to, you know, without even the thought of it. And
right.
I think there's a natural law there that we discovered. Giving back is its own reward, and then you get other rewards besides that too.
Absolutely. That's why when we created Design Conviction here, this thing is a social enterprise, and basically we are working to help communities of people that, you know, that need it, and especially the incarcerated and people that get out, and trying to really do something positive to impact that through art. You know, art is the major factor in what we're doing here. And I think that with the social enterprise concept, man, I learned about it through this class I took, and it really stuck with me. That was the one thing that really resonated with me out of all the stuff that I learned there, was the social enterprise concept of, you know, giving back and really just like, so everything that we make, if we ever do become profitable, which I think that we will one day, but 50% of any money that we make will be put back into helping people, you know, and I think that looking at that model.
I believe it's a great way to do business. I personally promoted my product, and my product, I couldn't donate 50% of my of what I made. It was not possible. It was it's a family business, and you know, there really wasn't that much money. The money had to go back into the business. But I gave my time freely, and you know, because I believed in the mission, and it eventually helped my bottom line as well, you know, as created, I think, a lot of goodwill in the community.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. I think that, without a doubt, that is how, you know, the communities will become stronger, is helping the communities and people looking out for each other and, you know, being there when you can, you know, what you can do, you know, within reason, it's something that's great, man.
Absolutely. We give back where we can. Where's our strength, you know? Your strength is maybe art. Your strength may be, in your case, it may be your experience otherwise besides art. You know, there's a lot of things that make you who you are, and you know, whatever you're compelled to do to make a difference, should be done, you know. And you know, as long as a person, you know, I don't preach, but as long as I will do what I believe in, rather than do what other people want me to do. Now, to a certain degree, doing what other people want me to do is what I believe in. But ultimately, it's got to be what I believe in and what I feel compelled to do.
That's great words right there, man. I couldn't have said that better myself. I wanted to ask you about music. You know, I heard you say earlier that you played the guitar and stuff, and I had the chance to hear something that you had done over the phone. You know, they were playing it for me, and it sounded amazing, man. Like, so you're a musician, right?
Yeah, I played blues and stuff. I played quite a bit while I was in prison. I haven't practiced much since I've been on the streets, but I play with a band, and you know, my band is on a hiatus right now, but you know, because I got so many other things that I'm trying to get done. But I love playing music. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Do you write your own songs?
Yeah. Yeah, I've written quite a few songs, but lately I haven't really written much. I wrote while I was in prison. I wrote a few songs when I got out. But right now my focus has been on other stuff, so I haven't written anything.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, man, I really liked it, man. I was wondering if you ever record any of it?
Yeah, I've got a few songs recorded, and but I need to go back in the studio and tighten them up, and before I release anything, I have some stuff that I'd like to just put out there, like an EP or something. And but I haven't been playing lately, so everything's kind of on hold at the moment. But yeah, I look forward to, you know, getting this project here to, you know, the. Some people would call it a museum, but it's a warehouse full of art. It's a project I'm working on. I'm building a you know, 15,000 square foot warehouse, and it's mostly done. But part of the art is here. It's been moved from the other locations, but it's going to, you know, when that's done in a couple of months, then I can get back into the music of it.
Okay. Yeah, man, that would be awesome. I would love to be able to get your music and really hear it. You know,
It'd be great to figure out a way to get it in there and let you guys hear it, because you know, it definitely will probably appeal to a lot of folks on a certain level, you know.
Yeah, and I know exactly how to do that too. So once you get it done, you figure it out, man, and we'll make it happen. Help you to do that.
All right.
And we'll put it in the magazine too, man, and make sure we spread the word about it.
Cool, yeah. Okay, well, a few months, it'll be a couple months, 3 months or so, but yeah, we'll do that.
All right.
When
yeah,
I get,
be great.
When I get refocused.
Okay. Yeah, man, you know, the other day, it was funny, we got a joint channel in here, right, where they just have, you know, they got some different activities and stuff that are going on, pictures, little video things and stuff, and they had, I was watching it, and then all of a sudden I seen Dave's Killer Bread thing pop up on there and have a little thing about your story on it. I was like, wow. So
what was that?
I mean, it was interesting, man.
Where did that come up at?
It popped up on the joint channel in here, like the thing that, you know, it just circulates here in the prison, and
yeah.
it had a little thing about your, you know, probably the watered down version of your story on there. It just said, you know, that you were incarcerated, that you got out, and that you started this with your family, and how you've done well with it.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
It was pretty cool,
that.
Man.
Yeah.
I was like, man, I just talked to this guy the other day.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I've never seen it on there before, but somebody was interested in your story.
It seems kind of everywhere, you know, nowadays. Because the bread's all over the country. It's all over, you know, all over the U.S. and Canada, even south of the border now.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. And I think your story inspires people, man, to really, you know, say, hey, man, it's possible to make your dreams come true. Like, if you got an idea, if you got something that you really feel passionate about, it's possible to really make it happen, man. That's what I love about your story the most, is it gives a lot of hope to people. Even myself, like, I'm inspired by you.
Well, great. You know, that's when it stopped. You're right. That's why I tell my story. There's really no other reason to tell it, but to hope that it's going to make a difference.
Absolutely, man. You're inspiring people. You really are.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Yeah. And so I got a question that I ask to everybody that I've interviewed is, what are your thoughts on life without the possibility of parole sentences? You know, I'm serving a life without the possibility of parole sentence, and I just feel like, you know, I would like to know, I'm curious about what your thoughts are on it, how you feel about it.
Well, I'm all about second chances, you know. I mean, my experience in life, I've got a few second chances. Fortunately, I never got in that kind of trouble. I got in a lot of trouble, but never to that level. And, you know, all I can say is I want to see, I believe in second chances for people who are rehabilitated, you know. So, I don't really have any political, you know, thoughts to give you, because I avoid politics like the plague. But,
I hear you, man.
If I was in your shoes, it might feel a little different. You gotta get into that politics. It's gonna take politics to deal with your situation, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, the politicians are the ones that make the laws, you know, but...
That's right.
I just feel like, and I don't like the politics either, man, they made the laws quite political instead of being the laws, you know,
and I think that this country
was founded on, you know, seeing the ability to be able to give somebody a chance at redemption. I believe in the Constitution there's quotes that say similar things to that, that people are inherently, like, have the ability to rehabilitate and change. So I just think that, you know, maybe not every single person is going to be able to do that, But I think the majority of people can do that, you know, and I think that absolutely, especially with hope, that there is a chance like that would even create more ability for that, you know, because hope is a big catalyst for change as well. But, it, you know, people do have the ability to change, man, and at least, like, a chance to show that. Like, to say, hey, look, this is what I've done, this is what I'm about, you know, I've done these things in the past, but that's not who I am. Especially for young people, because with the brain science and stuff that's come out about, you know, if you're 25 years or younger, there's, you know, like, within yourself, you're not able to make the best of decisions as well. You know, and they've proven that.
That's right. Yeah, it seems like life's backwards like that. And it's, you know, by the time you got things figured out, you kind of screwed everything up. And, you know, if there's anybody who believes in that you can be redeemed and turn it around, it's me, you know. So I definitely support you on that level.
Right. Well, thanks, man. Thank you. It means a lot. You know, I'm going to keep going for it, man. I'm going to keep trying. And supposedly there's a bill that came through in Washington State, and it hasn't been signed off on yet or nothing, but it would basically allow people to petition the court for a hearing to show, like, what they have done with themselves. You know, so hopefully that thing passes, man, and that would at least open the door to send a petition. I don't mean they're going to listen to it, but...
Right, is that like a second look sort of thing?
Yeah, I think it is. It's not a parole or nothing like that. It's like, it's basically allowing the court that sentenced you to look at your case, review your case, whatever you give them to look at, and decide if they would like to take you back and maybe resentence you to something less than. So
yeah, well, that's great. Yeah,
we're hoping, man, that goes through.
I wish you all the best on that. Wish you all the luck. But, you know, it certainly sounds like it can happen. You know, you just never give up on that.
Yeah.
I gave up on myself, man. You know, I gave up on myself. I didn't think there was a future for me. And that was 2001. I was ready to die, you know. And the same year that I turned my life around, I started turning my life around. But middle of the year, I was done, you know. But by the end of the year, I was a new man. So I believe in changes. I believe in different outcomes.
Yep, it's all about the choices that you make, I think. For me, you know, I
absolutely
decided to do something different one day.
Yeah, and you know what? Here's my philosophy a little bit, right? I remember thinking, because I started doing some good times after that, right? I started finding that I could enjoy and, you know, feel productive and like a full quality human being while I was in prison. And then I was just, it was great. I didn't really even want to leave right away. I wanted to, but I didn't want to leave until I was kind of done with what I was doing, you know. That's how good it was. But I ended up getting interrupted. I got out and made something happen. But bottom line is, I think wherever you're at, if you can kind of accept your situation and make the most of it, then your life can be beautiful wherever you're at. Doesn't mean to quit trying to change it. I mean, it's great to be able to just, you know, learn to accept it and make the most of it.
Right. I think that's very, very much so the case, man. Otherwise, you're just going to go through life and it's going to pass you right by and you're not going to enjoy it. Regardless of the situation that you're in, you know, you're just going to be miserable.
Yeah, and you can learn how to be. You can learn how to be happy in there, man. I believe. I really, truly believe it because I've experienced it.
Yeah, that's a true story, man. It really is. And you know what? I really appreciate you coming on here and talking with us, Dave.
I've enjoyed it, and I hope that you know I'm going to support you. And for instance, what's coming up? The event, the Free Taylor. I want to be supportive there, and I wish you all the best, and and I'll be watching.
That's awesome, man. I really thank you for coming out to support it on April 17th in Longview, Washington. It's my hometown, and I'm honored that you're going to come out and support that event, and you're actually going to speak at the event. That's an honor.
It's going to stick in my heart, my man. Just going to tell you how I feel. And that's all we can do.
Absolutely. And we're gonna try to change the hearts and minds of people, And we're going to keep going. We got an event coming up, or a little art gallery showing this coming Friday in Olympia. It's just a small little venue, but we're going to try to do more of those. We have quite a bit of an art collection that we're gathering with the work that we're doing. And what we're going to do is we're not selling any of the original pieces. As much as we can, as many venues as we can get, we're going to take them and show the pieces to people and tell the stories of the people who've done the art and the people who've, been through these situations and done something better with themselves and are making the most of their situations. And we're just going to keep doing that, man. We're going to keep telling the stories. We're going to keep giving a voice to people and we're going to make it.
I love the positivity. You know what I mean? We don't need, it's never going to be done with resentment and, negativity of any form. It's always going to be that positive force that you have, So keep that stuff up, man, because that's what attracted me to what you're doing, is that overall sense of just positivity all the time.
Man, that's one of my philosophies that I live by, is this: you got to turn that negative into a positive, man. You got to look for what you can do to make something good out of a bad situation, and then once you start doing that more and more, like, you just start finding all these good things, these good things that you can do. And even if I spend the rest of my life in prison, maybe what I can do is something positive for, the place where I'm at here, out there. Maybe I can, my true goal for myself personally is to prevent some young kid from doing the same dumb shit that I did,
There you go. And
so,
yeah, that's a meaningful thing. What if you save one guy? What if you save 10 guys? I mean, one person is it made your life worthwhile, and your life's going to be worthwhile anyway, because you're going to create a lot of stuff in your lifetime, no matter what happens. So I think that attitude is just going to create a lot of positive stuff.
Thanks, man. Yeah, but I just released the album that I recorded in prison 5 years ago, man, before they took out the music programs in here, with a friend of mine, Caleb Twidwell. He helped me put it together, put some music to my words, my poetry that I turned into lyrics of songs. And so, yeah, he recorded it out there in the studio finally, after it's been like almost 2 years now. We've been working on putting that together out there. And so we just released that, man. And so,
wow.
That's how this is called, the Free Taylor Project, man. And then we're going to have this show in Longview. And I got somebody that's going to be singing the songs out there. And, yeah, it's going to be cool, man. And then I'm working on a new project with of some more songs that I wrote with Seth Anthony, who's going to be performing at this concert. And in
Long Island. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing that.
So, man, it's going to be cool, man. We're just trying to keep it going in a positive direction. So, I look forward to talking more to you and
yep.
seeing all the things that you're doing and making some good things happen, man.
You got it. Yeah, me too.
I appreciate you running out of time here, but thank you so much, and I definitely do look forward to talking to you again.
It was great talking to you, and lots of good things I see coming down the road, so just keep it up, man.
All right. Well, that's Dave Dahl, everybody, and this is Taylor Conley. Have a great day, and please join us again next week on The Life of a Lifer.